When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
After another night of unexpected rain, the good vibes are back in the Coachella Valley. Welcome to TC Live, where we lead you up to first ball every day here at the BNP Paribas Open. And there is reason to believe Tennis Paradise will live up to its moniker today. Here's what's on the way. Day three in the desert means the seeds make their debuts. And we've got a star-studded array of matches today featuring former champs and world number ones. Speaking of which, it was unseeded Naomi Osaka who stole the show yesterday as she sent a message to the field. Don't sleep on the 2018 winner. Plus, California teenager Alex Mickelson advanced in straight sets, but he's got a fellow American waiting for him next, and it's a rematch that went the distance last month. And speaking of teens, pickleball superstar Anna Lee Waters joins the show to tell us what she's doing here in the desert and much, much more. Take a look at our featured matches today, beginning with the Australian Open champ Jannik Sinner taking on Tanasi Kokkinakis, the world number one former champ here Iga Swiatek against American Danielle Collins, Ben Shelton in action, plus Carlos Alcaraz against Matteo Arnaldi in the night session, and Madison Keys first match of the year against Hayley Baptiste. The returning champs out on the practice court. Elena Rybakina back to defend her title. Leads the tour this year in match wins. Already has two titles. And by the way, the defending women's champ has never lost her opening round match the following year. Carlos Alcaraz, the returning champ on the men's side, looking to get back to number one in the world and raise his first trophy this season. We'll see them in action. As we, as always, welcome you right into Stadium One. If you're out there in the garden, wave, say hello. We can see you. It's fantastic as we bring you onto our Tennis Channel desk. Steve Weissman with my friends Coco Vandeweghe, Prakash Amitrash. Yesterday, we were rocking the pink. Today, P's going all by himself.
Listen, he just had a bit of FOMO. I mean, he realized that we were bringing the heat, bringing the fire early on, only day two, and he just had a bit of FOMO. I understand.
Listen, they've been going with a bunch of different nicknames, but here, first Friday, Indian Wells, we are going with Pink Panther, and we're going to get all Inspector Clouseau on all the players today.
I thought we were going to say, Pookie, you were looking rather fire out there.
Listen, I've been asking these guys if they know who Pookie and Jet are, and they have been now introduced to who they are. And, you know, I'm expecting us to do a Pookie and Jet, you know, rundown on our outfits at some point in time.
We got
to
do it. We hope they watch as well. I know they're big sports fans. So, do you have your Kelly bag?
What? No, I don't. You're going to have to put me on game on this, on the whole situation there, Coco.
All right, let's start with Naomi Osaka, the champ from back in 2018. It was 6 years ago, just 20 years old, came here, left with her first career title. It was so long ago. She actually beat Maria Sharapova and Aga Radwanska in the first two rounds. This win would catapult her to superstardom when the U.S. Open later that year. The rest is history. And she now comes back, Coco, as a mama, taking on Sarah Errani yesterday.
Oh, and I thought this would be a really good test for Naomi to be able to see where her game is at after the Australian Open and after the Middle East swing, because these conditions, and especially the player that Sarah Errani is, she's going to give you a lot of spin, a lot of time to be able to hit your targets. And that's so key for Naomi Osaka to be able to find that early and often, and hitting the corner so well, just like she was here, managing the rally, staying close to the baseline, and really just having her way with the target practice out here. And it really was just such a clean two-set victory that we have been looking for from the Naomi Osaka racket.
50th WTA 1000 win on hard courts, 9 aces, broke 5 times, and then joined us at the desk after the victory.
Have you been able to be nice and patient with yourself as your form continues to come back? Because, you know, sometimes it's so easy to get back out there and just be like, you know, I want it right away.
Yeah, I think I'm that type of person, because I feel like, you know, everyone has dreams, and when they dream, they want to win. So it's not necessarily like I was sitting out for a year and like wanting to lose in the first round, but I think I just have to know it's a process and continue to believe in myself and my team around me, and eventually I'll get to where I want to be.
It was really a pleasure getting to speak with Naomi for a bit yesterday, Prakash. She told us about the different perspective she has now that she has her daughter with her here in the desert. Does she look like somebody that can contend for the title here this year?
I certainly think so. I mean, look, she's got one of those games where when it's on, it's one of the absolute best in the world. You can't say that for a lot of players. Some players who play a little bit more of a defensive game, you need a little bit to go wrong on the other side of the net. Naomi doesn't. Even if her opponent's playing great, as long as she's playing great, she stands a great chance against absolutely anyone from Iga to Sabalenka to Rybakina. She's played some close matches with top players, as she mentioned earlier this year. And she didn't say, you know, hopefully coming back if I get back to where I'm going to get to. She said, eventually I will. You can hear that confidence within her. I think she knows she's going to get there. And also, just the journey that she's had, such a ridiculously big superstar at such a young age, the little break, motherhood, that shift in perspective, I think it could be great and build a long career moving forward from this point.
No, it will. And I think that this new perspective that Naomi has is going to be so good and really just be so important for her moving forward in this new career that she is blossoming in. But what we need to figure out is how her recovery is going to be. And that's been a tough point going through the Middle East swing and the Australian Open swing that we saw in her matches. Being able to recover the next day and the day after that, that's always the toughest part about this WTA tour. There are very little to no breaks. And she said it herself. She wants to play more tournaments and get to see different venues, different places, and just enjoy the aspect of life of tennis, going around the world and traveling and being able to see many different fans that support her around the world.
And that's exactly what we're seeing this year. She talked about it. She's living up to it. And she is in the next round. Takes on Lyudmila Samsonova next. Meantime, we go from moms to dads. Gael Monfils in action. Looking for his first Masters 1000 win since Cincinnati. Taking on Max Purcell, Prakash. And he told you he is ready now.
He certainly is, and guess what? The game showed it. What I loved about Gael today was we saw his athleticism out there, which you're going to see in some of these highlights, but he was a little bit more proactive there, trying to win points. You saw the drop shot there, something he was trying to do to take the initiative right there, stepping up, rocking that forehand up the line. When Gael's playing a little bit more on the baseline, I just think he's so effective because he's taking time away from his opponents. And let's not forget, he's still got that unbelievable athleticism. He still chases all the balls around the court well. Check out this movement here. Able to roll the lob over the backhand side. One of the toughest shots, setting up this forehand pass there. That movement, even if it drops 10-20% from the height of his game, look at that. It is still going to be there because it was always at such a high level. When he's moving well, serving well, this is the kind of tennis you want to play. And my favorite part, you talked about it, Weissman. The man is ready. So what do we get when he's ready? He gives us my favorite, Wakanda forever.
Yeah, and he told us, he's like, I don't do that if I'm not ready. That it means something to him. A celebration is not just fun and games. But former finalist Milos Raonic on Stadium One for the first time since getting to the semis back in 2019. He was supposed to play Rafa Nadal. Instead, Rafa had to withdraw, so it's Sumit Nagal.
Well, quick little shout-out for Sumit Nagal, who basically had about $600 in his account last year and was kind of on the verge of quitting the tour. Found his way back into the tour with some help and has now found his way into the top 100. Big shout-out to him, but a little bit of a different caliber of opponent today. Just a little bit too much heat from Raonic, and Nagal a little bit more comfortable on the clay. Likes a little bit more time. Raonic's just a little too powerful from the baseline and served really well. You can see here a little bit too defensive from the Indian. And it was a nice first round for Milos to work his way into the tournament. Nice needed win.
Yeah, good for him to get the victory as Raonic is moving on to round two. From the veteran, we go to the teenager, 19-year-old American Alex Mickelson. He won the Easter Bowl here a couple years ago. Was ranked outside the top 600 last year. Now on the verge, Coco, of the top 70.
I mean, from Easter Bowl to BNP, that's a huge jump in a short amount of time. And I know from myself, playing the Easter Bowl, getting to see these courts, hoping that you can play at this level with the pros is such a big milestone in your junior career. And he's maturing so nicely into these professional ranks, going and beating these top ATP players in his first go of it. And usually there are some growing pains, but it's really key that his forehand was lighting it up yesterday. He was so good at measuring his shots, and really it all backs up after his serve. He's got such a good action on his serve, not only with the kick, but also he can blow it right by you.
Big time win for Alex Mickelson, and he joined us on the desk after his match.
How has it been moving up in levels? Has it been easier than you've expected, or what's that feeling like?
No, I mean, it's definitely, you know, hard to go from where I've gone in the last 12 months. I just think I've managed my brain very well because, you know, sometimes I've lost a lot of tough matches. You know, I lost to Jordan Thompson last week and I had match points and he won the event. But there's all these ups and downs. It looks like I went up here really quickly, but it feels like, you know, it takes a lot of time. I put a lot of time in and I've been grinding for a long time. So I'm just super happy to be here.
Good to spend some time with Alex Mickelson, who, by the way, also told us, Coco, that he's a natural lefty. And I know you're the same way, right?
Yes. I mean, I got a little bit of a mixed bag of tricks with lefty, righty. It just depends on the sport. But it's so good that you have that extra hand on the racket, especially on the backhand side. That was really a tough part for me when I was starting in juniors of figuring out my backhand because I was so left-hand dominant. Little did I know that would help me way more in the future. But I just hit it as a lefty forehand. The right hand was just along for the ride. But it's so great to see that his game is so solid, so early on in his career, that there's going to be little to no technical changes that he's going to have to make. We've seen a lot of players when they come out onto the ATP Tour, they're a little bit shaky technically, and they have to change some things. I mean, even Rafa Nadal has changed his serve, changed his backhand quite a few times. But for someone to come out being so technically strong, that only just means you have to work on your game plans, get more fit, get more physical out there, and being such a big kid that he is, that's only just an upward trajectory.
It's remarkable how quickly he's been able to move up the rankings. I know he said, you know, it has been tough and so forth, but look, I think it's been a lot smoother than a lot of other players, and the feeling that you get from him when he's sitting here talking about the way his game is, the way the tour is, he just has this sensational amount of confidence about him, and that counts for a lot. When you're starting to play the best players in the world, and you, right off the bat, really think this is where you belong, and this is where you should be. You should be in the top 10. You should be. That's 80% of the battle, because unless you get there mentally, it's never going to manifest, even if you have the game. So the fact that he's already crossed that point at such a young age, it's probably one of the strongest things the kid's got going for him.
He's at home here in Southern California, and a little bit of revenge on his mind for the next match. He's taking on Tommy Paul, played him in a three-set thriller in Delray Beach, went down to a tiebreak in the third. For even more on Alex Mickelson, Matt Fitzgerald sits down with him. You can find that story on tennis.com. Still ahead on TC Live, we've got the pickleball superstar Annalee Waters joining us in the house, bottom of the hour. More Americans in action as well. Sonia Kennan playing. And how about the host city for the 2025 Laver Cup? We'll let you know a little secret. Where's it going? Here's a hint. It's on the West Coast, Best Coast. Oh, it's a beautiful day. Coco, Prakash, Steve back on TC Live at Indian Wells. You can set up multiple screens to watch this brilliant event. We have you covered on T2 and Bally's. Leif Shiras and Paul Anacone will call Yelena Ostapenko and Angie Kerber, a couple major champs going head-to-head, as well as Andy Murray and Andrei Rublev. A couple of great matches there. And following those on T2, we've got the Second Serve crew bringing you at least three more hours of tennis matches and conversation. Will Red Fu join Tracy Austin once again? And will we have rain for the third straight night? It is now time for today's forecast with Fox Weather.
Hello, tennis fans. I'm Fox Weather's Bob Van Dillen. This is your BNP Paribas Open Tennis Forecast. Looking pretty good. A mixture of sun and clouds out there for Indian Wells in California. Starting out in the 50s, ended up in the upper 70s. And it's going to be dry. Remember, you can download the Fox Weather app or stream Fox Weather from your favorite connected TV device.
Bob says it's going to be dry. We shall see. That's what they've been saying for a couple of days now. We go back 5 years in the time machine to revisit this viral moment on court at Indian Wells. Do you remember?
I'll be back for more, so take care and good night. Know this, the good life. Hot tubs and court time. Thursday, we back, all right?
Welcome back. Tennis.com is the best place to keep up with the action from Indian Wells and all year round. Check it out to follow men's and women's tournament draws, as well as breaking news, live scores, stats, and results. Download the Tennis app or visit Tennis.com today. And every single day, Leah Davidoff has your three to see. Previewing the best matches of the day, she is looking at Andy Murray and Andrei Rublev, Jannik Sinner's first match, and a battle of major champs between Angie Kerber and Yelena Ostapenko. See who she picks to win the trio. Back to the action from yesterday. Caroline Wozniacki on court after her match was suspended by rain. Up a set, down love one in the second. Told us she had half a bagel for breakfast, Coco, and then it was a full delayed bagel on the court.
Yes, and the conditions only got tougher for Wozniacki in this first set. She was able to manage and sneak it out, but it really affected her ball depth. When Wozniacki's ball is landing short in the box, it becomes very attackable, and it really takes away from the fact that she can start dictating with the backhand. But new day, new Wozniacki, she was able to use the conditions to her advantage. The sun's out, it's a bit warmer, and she was able to really run away with this second set, and it was just smooth sailings once she got that first break in the second and just really ran away with it.
It told us Wednesday was a grind, so yesterday she told herself, no more messing around, gotta get this done. Caro moving on to round two. Could the moms continue to crush the competition? Taylor Townsend taking on Magda Linette, Prakash. The American would need a big comeback.
Well, she's right around the top 10 in doubles and top 80 in singles, but that singles ranking, that thing's moving up. Is that a set and a break there, but was all of a sudden able to find a little bit more aggressive play? One of the big things that Taylor's improved so much, as you saw there with that forehand, those short, short steps. Her footwork has improved so much, as is her sort of long distance running as well. Here, all the way from the baseline back here, you don't want to get into a field play with Taylor. You're going to get giving her an easy ball like that. She went right at her opponent. I am not mad at that, TT. Third set got off to such a great start, and just like the best players do, she did not let up. One break wasn't enough for her. She kept it going all the way through, extended to 5-1, and again, finishing on the front foot. What do you think, Co? Oh,
I love it. I mean, take it to your opponent. Let's get a peg out there. Come on. Come on.
I love the celebrations from Taylor Townsend. Just cruised in that third set. Broke three times, made nearly all of her first serves. So let's take a look at the mom tracker. Everyone is a winner. You have a baby and you win. 5-0 so far. Of course, Victoria Azarenka, Elena Svitolina yet to play. But Kerber wins. Maria wins. Osaka wins. Townsend wins. Wozniacki wins. And by the way, we spoke to Taylor, Caro, and Naomi yesterday. There was one common theme when we asked about the babies. Faces just lit up. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty special to see how much, Prakash, their mindsets have changed and how much it's really helped them.
Well, again, we talked about this, but I don't think it can be underspoken about, is the fact that as singles players especially, everything is centered around yourself. And all of a sudden, when you have someone who is more important than you and things are shifted over there, it makes the perspective of winning and losing a little bit easier. I mean, as individuals growing up, especially when you're younger, when you win, feel like you're on top of the world. And when you lose, you lose all self-worth and you just go completely down the drain. And then as you get more mature, you try to be a little bit more even keel. And that's what you see from the best players in the world. But having a child, it changes your perspective unlike any other. And again, Weissman, the way they were all lighting up, much more about that than any kind of thing that could possibly happen on a tennis court.
Yeah.
And ironically, that's what's helping their tennis so much.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see. And for Taylor specifically, Coco, what did you see on the court that makes you think she can make a deep run here?
No, I mean, her game has definitely improved immensely after having little baby Amy. I mean, take a look at him, that guy. He's such
cheeks on AJ.
I mean, come on. You got to love it. And I mean, you can even see it there, how much Taylor enjoys being a mother. But it really brought new revenue into her game. She started to take her physicality and use it as an advantage. She is so quick around the court and has a lot of different variety to her game. And if she's able to keep implementing that against a lot of different players, she's tough to beat. Someone rushing the net as much as she does, it puts so much pressure on you to constantly make a good pass, make a good decision. And as we know, for being on the singles court, it's really hard to keep that pressure up. It feels like you're getting suffocated out there. And also having that lefty dynamic, it only makes things easier for Taylor and her heavy spin on the forehand. Those are so many things that can work so well here at Indian Wells with the court conditions and how much the ball can explode up and out of the court.
AJ said, I want to win with mommy. And she's like, all right, I got to go out there.
You need more motivation than right? that? Your son telling you that? Beautiful.
All right, Emma Raducanu is back as well. Remember, she had three surgeries in a matter of 10 days last year. Both wrists and ankle. A lot of recovery, but has put in the hard yards and shown it against Rebecca Masarova.
Oh, man. I mean, Raducanu came out so firing, so ready to go. And you really got to see if her forehand is making inroads into these players. We know her backhand is rock solid, but she was really able to hug that baseline. She was able to really, when she was on the baseline, step into the court, get her weight and momentum going forward and being on the aggressive. And you see it here throughout this rally, that forehand moving forward after the shot when she took it line. And even it started to go from there. Once you're feeling it and you're flowing, you're taking second serves early, you're just really feeling every aspect of your game.
Pretty comprehensive victory for Emma Raducanu. Moves on to round two, reached the fourth round last year, gets Diana Yastremska next. And we're here in the desert at Indian Wells, so can you believe it's been 5 years since Denis Shapovalov started his rap career over on Stadium 3? Take a listen.
I leave it all on the court, fighting like a wolf. I'll be back for more, so take care and good night. Know this, the good life, hot tubs and court time. Thursday, we back, all right?
I feel you. Then he went on to release, you know, the smash single, Night Train. Then had the collab.
Much better.
Listen, Prakash, I feel like you're holding a lot in right now.
Listen, first shout out. He got engaged last summer, so congratulations to him and Miriam. But, you know, he hasn't had the best go of it as of late on the tennis court. Still trying to find that form. I mean, he's one of the most talented players we've seen over the last 10, 15 years. So we want him to be able to find that form. But to show that video when the guys drop now to 131 in the rankings, what is this? Kick a brother in the ding, ding, day? That's a rough one to see, Weissman. That's a rough one to see. Oh, man. That was tough. That was tough.
It's tough to follow that.
I'm afraid to follow that. I mean, Prakash said it all. I mean, he's having a tough go of it. Whenever you are struggling on the singles court, things can really start to downpile, and leave it to Tennis Channel to just really keep adding on top of it.
It was a viral moment, though.
It was.
It was a viral moment.
I enjoyed it. You got to step up to the game and just see and show everyone you have other interests besides just tennis. But I want to see the lefty back at the top of the game. I
100%.
Loved watching him play. He was so athletic, so energizing when he played, not only with his forehand, but the one-y lefty backhand. Yeah. I mean, how can you not love that?
Absolutely.
Even with the one-y going out of the top 10, that's a one-hander. When it's striking the best, it 100% deserves to be in the top 10. So
power, beauty, I mean, it's got it all.
Absolutely.
We'll see if he
drops. By the way, in his defense, his bars have gotten better.
They have.
All the tracks after that have been better.
Blair Henley's not here this year, so I don't know if somebody's going to get it out of him, but I would like to hear.
Maybe Prakash gives him another chance when he comes to the TC desk. He can really do
That's a yeah. good environment yeah. to get out. We should try to get a
I
few bars.
I asked him one time, and he was like, please don't bring that up.
Okay. All right. Then it's a no. It's a no.
I don't even know if he wants to go there. But listen, it is Oscar week, and guess what? Yeah. We had a little performance yesterday during the rain in the locker room. Do we have a name for this man? Anybody? Whose man's is this? Somebody tweet us. Let us know.
I wouldn't claim him.
I tell you what. Whoever it is, come get your man's. Come get this guy out of there.
What is happening?
There are cameras everywhere. No one is safe here for Tennis Channel. I mean, he's gone lefty. He's gone righty. He's figuring it all out.
Serving on a treadmill?
I tell you what, though. Let's look at the positives. One, there's some crazy visualization going on, which is really good. Two, he seems to have got... I wouldn't... Oh.
I mean, that's...
I was about to compliment you, and then
I gotta ask Jet Cash, who's sitting right there on the bench, who that is, Pat Cash's son. I mean, that's... Who is this guy?
I called
He's got a USA shirt. I mean, we're not claiming him. He's got a credential.
It's Tai Chi Tennis... Swan dancing on a treadmill.
We need to ask Tommy Haas, how did this guy get a credential for this moment, this viral moment that he is living time and time again? That's a good question.
I kind of want to play tennis with the guy. He looks like he's playing with both
hands. You don't want to work out with him? I mean, this is your territory
yeah.
right here.
This is my warm-up. when I go left twice.
We're still trying to identify this man. So see if Jet Cash knows. And if anybody, if you're watching out there and... Come get your man.
He's got the moves, though.
I mean, he was clean. He was clean at everything. He almost died, but, you know, it's okay.
The taking his clothes off in the middle was a little much for me, but, you know.
Brother, was that?
He was smoking. Close up on Coco.
Yeah, jeez.
Great hair today, by the way. Annalie Waters getting her makeup done. Going to come in here, chat with Prakash and myself, talk all about pickleball and what's next. Three here at Indian Wells, and that means the seeds begin to bloom. We got the Aussie Open champ, Jannik Sinner, in action. How about the world number one, Iga Świątek, taking on Danielle Collins. Ben Shelton is playing as well. Carlos Alcaraz takes on Matteo Arnaldi. And then we've got Maddie Keys and Hayley Baptiste, all-American matchup. So the number one woman in the tennis world taking the court later today. But right now, we have the number one woman in the pickleball universe in the house. Annalie Waters has dominated the sport over the past couple years. She is the Triple Crown Queen, ranked number one in singles, doubles, and mixed doubles. And she's just 17 years old. Can't even believe it. You can see ALW in action on Pickleball TV. She's competing in Austin, Texas, March 14th to the 17th, and then goes to Cary, North Carolina, April 3rd to the 7th. It is all live. It is on Pickleball TV. And guess what? We've got Annalie Waters live in the house right here on our Tennis Channel desk. Great to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys too. I'm happy to be here.
Congratulations on all the success. You just had your Jordan Triple Crown, 23.
23, baby. Let's go.
Bananas,
right?
That's bananas.
It's absolutely amazing. So tell us a little bit about how the season's going so far and what you're doing here in the desert.
Yeah, well, I just want to say, like, 2.5 years ago, I was hoping to just get one triple crown. So to be at 23 is pretty crazy. But yeah, this season I was like, Annalie, what are your goals going to be? Because last year I had exceeded them and done really well in the sport. So this year I was like, let's just try to have fun and get better and not kind of worry. Because before the year started, I said to my mom, I was like, I don't want to lose a match. That's my goal. She's like, Annalie, you can't go into the season having a goal like that. And I'm very glad that I listened to her, because this year I've just been having a lot of fun and have yet to lose a match. So doing really well.
Well, it just seemed like you got such a process-based mindset, which is so beautiful. What I'm curious is, I mean, when we watch you out there, it looks like you're literally like waving a magic wand out there. These racket skills, did they always come from pickleball? Were there other racket sports in your past? How did it develop to this point?
So I actually... It's kind of crazy, because growing up, I loved playing soccer, and I played soccer for a little while, lived in North Carolina, and my parents saw a little bit of potential in me, so they were like, let's move to Florida to give you some more opportunities in sports. So at that time, then I was playing tennis and soccer, so that's kind of, you know, where you see the technique coming from, is that tennis and the footwork with soccer. Yep. So I think it was honestly like a perfect combo. And then when I was 10, that's when I found pickleball. I actually didn't want to start playing. I thought it was an old person sport, like probably many people still do. But I was dragged on the court and I absolutely loved it. And then I was playing all three sports for a while and then slowly just knocked off one by one. Tennis was actually the first one I knocked off, so sorry guys. But I played soccer and pickleball then for a couple more years, dropped soccer, now I'm full pickleball.
That's absolutely amazing. So your evolution to becoming the absolute best in the world now. Now look, there are many reasons why we're fans of Annalie.
Oh, yeah.
We all know that. But one of my favorite is your love for food. And I know it's a big
100%.
Thing for you. So I want you to give us a little breakdown on the diet side of things for performance, but also give us a little bit on the cheat meal side of things.
Yeah, so I try to eat really healthy, and I think I do eat pretty healthy, but sometimes at dinner I can get a little crazy with appetizers, etc.
Some wings in there.
Yeah, like before tournaments, preparing for tournaments, I try to eat really healthy. And then if I have a really hard tournament day and I want a chicken parm, I'm going to eat a chicken parm. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just feel like you can reward yourself with good food, but I feel like kind of like 80-20. Like 80% is pretty healthy, and then that 20% you can kind of do what you want.
The metabolism at 17.
I
remember
dream,
the days.
It's a dream.
We are here with pickleball sensation Anna Lee Waters. And we talk about some of these numbers. We're going to show them to you as well. I mean, just out of this world, world number one in absolutely every discipline, undefeated this year. The Jordan Triple Crowns, 23, 97 career titles. So can get to 100 wow. in that next event in Austin, Texas. You also just joined the 30-30-30 club. So you've got 30 wins in singles, 30 wins in doubles, 30 wins in mixed. What's your favorite of those three disciplines? I know you win at all of them.
Yeah, it kind of depends on the tournament. I feel like it's whatever I'm doing better in at the tournament, where, like, if I feel good in mixed that tournament, okay, then it's mixed doubles. The next weekend, if I'm like, oh, I don't feel good in mixed doubles, it's women's doubles and then singles, etc. But sometimes it's even like a yearly basis. Like the first year I played pickleball, I loved singles the best. And then the next year I felt like I loved mixed the best. And this year I think I'm loving women's doubles the best. So even though it varies every now and then, I think women's doubles is my favorite right now.
Cool.
Well, look, it might shift. You know, you're winning everything. So, you yeah. know, one year might be this, one year might be this. Anna Lee, having you here, you're obviously a massive star for us to have here. But I know within your family, you may not be the biggest star because there's been a new reveal. With Maggie joining the family.
Beautiful, so, but I didn't know who you were going to say. But that
adorable.
Is the best choice. So sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. Sorry, Grandpa. But it's Maggie, 100%. She's bull mastiff, and she weighed more than me for most of my life, but now I think I've got her. So, yeah, she's super cute, though.
My God, is she a cuddler?
No, she honestly, bull mastiffs like to be by themselves. So she'll come cuddle. We're like, Maggie, stay. And then she'll just leave. It's like she doesn't like us anymore after 15 minutes. But then she comes. She always comes back. So that's the important thing.
She does her own thing, you know.
Anna Lee, we've seen a lot of tennis players, pro tennis players, going into pickleball now. I know you've won a mixed title with Jack Sock. Sam Querrey's playing. Jeannie Bouchard's in there now. How do you see those players making the transition? And if there was a pro tennis player that you could dream to play mixed or doubles with, who would it be?
Wow. I'm going to answer that question first. Carlos Alcaraz. I actually walked past him here at this event, and I was like, I've been talking about it for 2 days. I'm like, Mom, I walked past him. Like, close to him. So that's fine. I just think he's an insane athlete, and I think pickleball, like, if you're an amazing athlete, pickleball is the sport for you because you can just – the court is smaller, so you can – you know, if you're fast, you can really get to a lot of stuff really quickly. As far as tennis players go, I think – if you have a pro tennis background, you will be good at pickleball in the beginning, but I think pickleball is something that you're good at in the beginning, but it's hard to master. So it does take time for these pro tennis players to kind of figure it out. Jack's been playing for a little while now, so I think he is at that where he's starting to try to master it. So I think after the first year or two, that's when you'll see, like, if this person's going to be really good or not, because it does take time.
All right.
So. Yeah.
Amazing. And by the way, there is an event this weekend on Pickleball TV yep. that's going on, but Annalie's here, so other people have a chance to actually win this weekend. Thanks so much for spending some time with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having
Best
me
Best of
here.
Luck the rest of the year. Enjoy your time here. Food.
Thank you.
Go to Nobu. Get that dinner.
I know, right? I'm excited.
God,
tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow.
That's right. And for those at home, Pickleball TV, the upcoming events, you can see ALW March 14th to the 17th. Austin, Texas goes for that 100 overall titles. April 3rd to the 7th, Cary, North Carolina. All those events live on Pickleball TV. We are leading up to the top of the hour here at the BNP Paribas Open. Tanasi Kokkinakis and Jannik Sinner coming in as the Australian Open champ. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Served with Andy Roddick is the new weekly series on T2. Watch as the Hall of Famer discusses the biggest stories in tennis with John Wertheim and some other special guests. Tune in for a new episode premiering Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern. It is streaming on T2. As we discuss Andy Roddick, we talk about other Americans in action. How about Venus Williams? Her match on Wednesday was suspended due to rain, 1-1 in the first set. Prakash, when they got back on court yesterday, Queen V was on fire.
We saw some beautiful things from Venus early in this match. When she's able to get behind the ball, she just still strikes the ball just as well as anyone. It's that movement that she just has to always stay on top of. And she did a really good job in that first set. It was a little windy out there, but it was very good first steps from Venus, really setting up the points, never really getting on the defensive, hugging that baseline well. Took the first set quite comfortably, 6-2. Second set, she was serving ahead, just couldn't quite get that opportunity to get that break and push forward. Credit to Hibino, though. Just got a lot of balls in play and started throwing a bunch of body blows, as you see here. Just making Venus do a little bit more running, a little bit more running. A little cat and mouse there with the drop shot lob. After she was able to take that second, took a lot out of Venus. And listen, hours on the practice court is one thing. Hours on the match court, quite different. And I think that's what we saw here. It wasn't necessarily not being able to play at a certain level, but it was just not being able to keep that up over the course of a three-set match.
Not now, but right now. Hibino won the last 10 games of the match, came through qualies, has won all three of her matches in three sets. The last two, she came from a set down as Venus Williams waves farewell to the desert. 5 days ago, Sloane Stephens tweeted, "Today was a good day." She could retweet that last night, Coco, after overcoming some rain in Meyer Sharif.
Well, she had a start-stop to this match of the rain coming in after this first set, but she really had to work her way back in this first set, especially in the early games. Sharif was really just dictating with her forehand, really roping Sloane around the court, but a few misjudgments from Sharif, like that drop shot right there. Sloane is far too quick for Sharif to get away with a shot like that. But Sloane really doing such a good job in this second set, being able to use not only her speed, but really unleashing her forehand. That was quite unstoppable all through this second set, and she just really did such a good, clean match.
A big backhand. What about half her points on return? Broke four times to advance. Sloane Stephens will face Sorana Kirstea next. Time to break down some American matches today, and we start with the youngster, Ben Shelton. Normally, he's the youngest player against his opponents, but not today. He's taking on the wild card, Jakub Mencik, who's actually the youngest man in the draw, Prakash. And Ben Shelton's 0-4 against players that are younger than him. What happens in this one?
Well, it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? I mean, Ben, especially when he first came on, there was no pressure on him. It was always on everyone else, and now he's established himself so well, so there is going to be a bit more pressure on him, especially when he's playing a younger opponent. It's kind of a beautiful situation for Mencik. He gets to come in as a wild card. Obviously, everyone knows and respects the fact that he's on his way to playing some really great tennis, but nothing to lose right now. So I think from his perspective, he can go swing freely out there.
I knew what you were saying.
I think he's watched a lot more of Ben than Ben has watched of him, so I think he's going to pepper that backhand a little bit. But I've said it, I think this is going to be a career year for Ben. So playing in the U.S., playing here in Indian Wells, I think he's going to have a big run.
Well, to get a career year, you have to beat players like the opponent in front of him today. And that's been the knock on Ben Shelton, is the fact that he hasn't been consistent against these lower-ranked opponents. He gets up for the big-time players and the big-time matches, but it's getting through these early-round matches that has been difficult for Ben, just getting his mental side of the game locked into these matches, not doing too many walkabouts, not trying to hit, you know, the really crowd-pleaser top 10 shot that's going to make our hot shot highlights at the end of these events. But you know, Ben is such a great player. He does such a great job at just really working his game on these opponents, using the lefty serve. I saw it in the tiebreak tens event, his kick serve, it is jumping over people's heads out here. So especially playing in the daytime, watch out for everyone sitting in that front row. This kick serve is going to come your way.
Jim almost took out Caro Wozniacki, by the way.
Didn't need to happen. I mean, it was a heat-seeking missile. She couldn't run away from it.
It was crazy.
I think with the right conditions, the way the ball's moving through the air, I think we see a little 140 action.
140?
Yeah.
I think 141. I'll raise you one. In the 140s. Very good.
We've got an All-American battle on the women's side as well. So excited that Maddie Keys is playing her first match of the year, Coco. Shoulder injury. Missed Australia. Making her debut 2024 here at Indian Wells, but takes on another American, Haley Baptiste.
Yes, and I think this is going to be one of the interesting matches. We're not only seeing where Maddie Keys stands after the shoulder injury, it's always difficult to come a couple months into the season when everyone's been playing. Haley Baptiste going down into the lower rank events to really get her ranking back up, but qualifying here, we've talked about it so much, getting through qualies and then getting through your first round. You are feeling so confident and so used to these conditions. And Haley Baptiste has a win over Maddie Keys, and she did it when she was in DC, and Maddie was a top player in season. So I think it's going to be a really good match out there between these two Americans.
Yeah, Haley's a very tricky opponent, and one of my favorite elements about her game is she competes really well. Even if she's down in a match, she never really goes away. Maddie, a bit more firepower, certainly, so a lot of it's going to come down to how she executes, especially given that she's kind of starting her year, really, over here. So it'll be interesting to see, especially with Baptiste having gotten over that hump of having a win over Maddie, but I still like Keys to get through.
That was her first ever WTA Tour level main draw win. Yeah. It was against Madison Keys, City Open. We've got Francis Tiafoe in action as well. This is a guy who made the semifinals here last year, Prakash. He's won his last four against Dusan Lajovic, but there is some rankings pressure on him coming in.
There's a little bit of rankings pressure, but you know, I don't know if that's going to bother him too much because he's kind of been in that zone for the last 12 months now where a ton of eyeballs have been on him. And sure, that may have been a little bit of something to adjust to. It's all fun and glamour in the beginning, but then when you realize the expectations are there, you got to start being able to deliver. And Francis cracked into the top 10 last year, so he has been making strides upward. This year so far, I don't think we've seen the best tennis from Francis. There have been a couple of matches where he hasn't been able to bring his best tennis, like the semifinals in Delray Beach against Tommy Paul. But again, big event, big stadium. This is where he feels himself. This is where he brings his best tennis. As you mentioned, Steve, semis last year. So perhaps this is the place where he can start, you know, gearing into his best form.
No, I think I talked with Big Fo a little bit. He's, I mean, little bro of mine. I love the guy. And we talked a little bit about how he is just trying to manage the situation that he's in, being the chasing American, being chased by these top ATP players. It's a different feel, a different aspect. I know when I was top 10, that different feeling of having the target on your back each and every week. Everyone wants to take that top 10 scalp, but it's really getting into your own and finding what's going to work and having the confidence in your game. And what is that game plan that you go to? Is it, you know, you chase extra balls down for Fo because he can get to most every ball that's out there? Or is it just flexing your muscles, showing the power that you have, being able to rip that forehand and charge up to the net and get that ball and put it away? So Fo really needs to figure it out for himself to get through these early rounds, early stages of these tournaments, and he hasn't been able to do that so far this year. And I think this is going to be a really big pivotal point, not only here at Indian Wells but also Miami, so he can really get back into his own, get back into his game and get his confidence back, because if he lets it slide anymore, the confidence really gets shaken, and that's hard to get back.
Yeah, it needs to reach at least the quarterfinals here to stay inside the top 20. I like Big Fo, Lil Bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Right.
I love that.
I think he shines here in the desert. Big stage, Big Fo.
100%. 100%. And also, you know, playing in the U.S., different feel. Yeah. You know, it's a lot more comfort. He loves the energy. So.
All right. Looking forward to those matches coming up later today. We are leading you up to the top of the hour, and we've got our FanDuel match preview. Caroline Wozniacki back on court for the third straight day, taking on Donna Vekic. Don't go anywhere.
This is a special Bloomberg report for Tennis Channel. The U.S. labor market's still running hot. Employers added 275,000 jobs in February, beating expectations. Still, the unemployment rate rose to a two-year high. Eli Lilly's facing more delays in gaining approval for its Alzheimer's drug. In a surprise move, the FDA says it needs to consult on the therapy's safety. And Gap's turnaround plan is picking up steam after reporting better-than-expected results. In New York, I'm Yahira Jaquez for Bloomberg.
Thanks so much. A reminder, Leif Shiras, Paul Anacone have you covered on Bally Sports and T2 at 2 Eastern. Battle between Yelena Ostapenko and Angelique Kerber. And then the three-time major champion, Andy Murray, takes on Andrei Rublev, the 5 seed. Murray looking for his first top 5 win on hard courts since winning the ATP Finals back in 2016. Time now for our FanDuel match of the day. It's Caroline Wozniacki taking on Donna Vekic. 2-0 head-to-head for Woz. Both were at the Aussie Open, most recent 7 years ago. So the odds say Donna Vekic should win. Prakash, what do you make of the odds?
I mean, this is very tight, very tight. I actually would, at those numbers, probably take Caro.
Yeah.
I think it's very much a toss-up. I think it's a 50-50 match. Sure, on paper, Vekic is certainly playing better tennis. But I don't know. I like the way Caro's playing. I think on these courts, she's going to be able to get a lot of balls back. Donna hits the ball huge, and she can kind of hit through any slow court. But I kind of got one of those feelings, Weissman.
Well, plus you're making positive money if you put it on Caro.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if it was even, then sure, maybe you take Donna. Maybe she's a slight favorite, sure, on paper. But with those odds, you know,
you're
making less over here. So just go with the numbers.
Wozniacki already has a win. Took 2 days, but played really well yesterday. Donna Vekic beat Aryna Sabalenka in Dubai earlier this year. made a nice deep run in San Diego last week. What's going to make the difference in this match between the two?
No, it's really going to be a difference of who's going to be the more consistent player, especially out here in these conditions. And Caro has the advantage of having played a couple of matches, but Caroline needs to talk to the supervisor. I mean, playing 3 days in a row with rain delays and stuff like that, you got to get a little love and get a bit of a break. And it's going to be an advantage to Donna. I think Donna comes out the victor today because Donna is the one with the hot hand. Having beaten Sabalenka, that does a lot for your confidence. Even though you don't win the tournament or get to the finals, beating a top player and a Grand Slam champion does a lot for your confidence. She's been in California for a bit, having played San Diego, only getting to the quarters there, but still a good result, losing to the eventual champion, Katie Bolter. But I think Donna comes out too solid, too much firepower for Caro.
I'll throw an acai bowl on there for the match with you and me.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Let's do it.
Neither of you are paying for it, so it's all good. Now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. Speaking of more, let's head inside the social net, see what's trending. And the Laver Cup announced its location for 2025. Time to get hella hyped. It's coming to San Francisco. Bay Area. Going to be held at the home of the Golden State Warriors. Big foe cooking like Steph Curry. We like this?
Home of 1,000%. You get an arena like that. What I love is, you know, it's going to places that it's never been before. And everyone's seen the Laver Cup grow over the years. So you're craving being able to go there. Not a lot of people, you can't always make it to Prague or Chicago if you're from Europe. So all of a sudden, when it comes to your city, it's going to be a massive event. And to be able to have it this far on the West Coast, I think it's going to be epic.
Yeah, I like this San Francisco pick.
I love it. I mean, that stadium's awesome. I've been there. I've watched a basketball game in the playoffs, the Warriors play. So it's a beautiful stadium. It's really a really fun venue to go to, really close to San Francisco, the city. So that makes it so much easier for everyone to go. But Steve, you're throwing some fighting words using hella out here for Southern California people. We don't use hella.
Well,
so that's fighting
words. It's a yay area.
It's a NorCal thing. I see what he did.
I see what he did. I got to hate on it, Steve. I'm sorry.
You don't ghost ride the whip?
No, I don't.
Come on.
I don't.
Come on, come on.
I don't. I'm sorry.
He's getting hyphy up here.
He's got a list. He's got a list of papers.
It's just a list of Bay Area words.
I may or may not have worked there for 3.5 years, but listen.
He's got the whole leg
up. East Bay. That's where the Warriors used to be. Now they're in the city. The city.
Just so you
know. It's not San Fran either. It's San Francisco.
Especially when all the sports teams are leaving the Bay Area. It seems like they just need this Laver Cup to keep it going at this point. I mean, they lose the A's in Oakland. They lost the Raiders.
You got some big pride there for the area. I love that. Yeah. I love that. You got all the lingo. You got everything.
E40, you know?
Well, I was waiting for
that.
Now you're talking my language a little bit. Too short?
What's popping? John Isner.
Coco likes too short. Come on now.
On TC Live. Saturday and Sunday. He's calling matches today. He's going to be with us right here on this desk, Saturday, Sunday. He's going to put the seat down really low, really low. He'll join Brett Haber for the call of the first match. That's coming up momentarily. Yannick Sinner, Killer Cahill, getting ready to go against Thanasi Kokkinakis. We'll be right back.
TC Live at the BNP Paribas Open is brought to you in part by FanDuel. Make every moment more.
Coco Prakash, Steve back with you on TC Live, and take a look at our stat of the day. It's for the youngsters. Smells like teen spirit. How about this? First time four teenagers have won a singles match at a Masters 1000 event in 5 years, and it was right here at Indian Wells. Look at these guys. Jerry Shang, Arthur Fils, Mensik, and Mickelson.
I mean, can we call it a changing of the guard almost? A new crop, new field that's coming through that's going to put pressure. I mean, now that the Big Four is almost, you know, pretty much out of the game at some point. I mean, we still got Djokovic, Nadal saying that he's finishing up, as well as Murray, Federer retired. It's time for a new crop of players, and here they are showing their stuff at a 1,000 event. Really good stat right there. I enjoy that.
What I love is as you see these youngsters coming in at each generation, they seem to be shifting back to the times where you had these sort of 17, 18-year-olds making these giant big strides. And you can probably thank Carlos Alcaraz, you can thank Yannick Sinner, Holger Rune for starting that trend. Because for a while, it was really the players were starting to mature into their 30s. Now shifting back a little bit, I'm all for it.
How about all the international aspect? Three different continents there. We got Asia, Europe, North America.
All those four, super fun to watch, too.
Yeah, for sure. And you see all the flags here as well. A lot of Americans, though, in action today. Danielle Collins, can she pull off the upset? She's plays Iga Swiatek extremely well. Ben Shelton in action, the All-American battle, Natty Keys, Haley Baptiste, and of course we've got both returning champions playing as well. Let's run through some of these matches, starting with the returning champ on the men's side, Carlos Alcaraz, taking on Matteo Arnaldi, who's a great player in his own right, but what do you expect to see from Carlitos?
No, I think this is going to be a good test for Carlitos. Coming back after that ankle injury in Rio, that's going to be a tough task, especially on these hard courts. These hard courts are very sticky, which means it's going to be a battle on your body to be able to sustain the effort. And as much as Carlos has so many avenues to be able to find the best solution for that ankle sprain, it's still very, very fresh. I mean, I dealt with plenty of ankle issues. That was my Achilles heel. And to come back after 4 or 5 days of rest, that ankle's not going to be feeling too good. So it's going to be a tough task. I don't know if he can defend his title, but I think he gets through this first round match for himself.
Yeah, I just want to see him come out and move well and feel good out there. He didn't look great in Vegas. It was such a fun match with Rafa, but he was picking up his feet and running. It was a bit of a sticky court there as well. So here, get into his natural movement and just kind of come off feeling like I'm striking the ball well and work his way into the tournament.
Yannick Sinner hasn't lost a match all year. He's taking on Tanasi Kokkinakis, who played really well in his first round. But it seems to me like it's a different Sinner. It's a different year, Prakash. And until it's proven that it can be done, he's unbeatable.
He has been playing, as Paul Anacone told us on our TC desk not too long ago, like the best player in the world. He's doing everything right on all different sides. He's not really exhibiting any weaknesses. And more than anything, he's not letting up mentally at all. Every time he steps out on the court, he looks hungry as ever. It's going to take a really consistent serving day from Kokkinakis to try to push this thing into a breaker and get a little lucky, take some big swings on some return points.
I think Sinner runs away with this. He's been too consistent, too good, and it really showed such confidence in him by entering an event after the Australian Open. We've seen so many players not play much after they win a Grand Slam, but Sinner showing up, Rotterdam, getting the title out there, that is so huge as a player. And just the way he was able to go about it, not really letting the Grand Slam champion affect him too much, no nerves out there, just went about his business. And that's been the key thing for Sinner. He's come out and really just stayed true to himself and not let all the hype get to his head. And I credit not only his family at home, but also the person that he is and what the surroundings he's created around him.
Yeah, I mean, you see him warming up there, like Rafa. I mean, the big jump. I mean, this kid is confident right now. Tanasi Kokkinakis looking to become the lowest-ranked player to beat Sinner since Miami in 2022. He certainly has a big game, the forehand, the serve, confident
from
kid
Italy,
as well from Australia. But let's listen in.
Sinner.
All Gucci. Man is focused. He's got both bags walking on court with him. Italian superstar Yannick Sinner taking on Tanasi Kokkinakis. Got you covered live tennis. The next 12 hours we'll be on the desk here with updates and interviews with all your favorite stars. But when we come back, first ball action on day 3 of the BNP Paribas Open. Brett Haber and John Isner have you covered after this.